themselves. And so when the bridegroom came, they were without oil. I was on the phone with Brother Hart, and he was communicating some things that he had ministered over the weekend, and he was talking about the idea of our tendency as humanity to fall back to the world. We will make a pursuit of God. We will pursue spiritual things, but if we don't maintain ourselves, our tendency is to go back. And then he cited several places in the scripture. And some of the examples, one of the strongest examples probably was in Hosea and the relationship between this prophet and this man, or this prophet, excuse me, prophet and this woman that he had, the Lord had told him to marry. And her constantly, you know, constant leaving commitment and going back and forth. And the thing about the 10 foolish virgins and the idea that there's times when we are in our pursuit, and we know when that is. We are reaching out to God. We are in communion with God. We are in fellowship with God. And then we acknowledge our humanity in its tendencies. And so sometimes we find ourselves in a little bit of both. But I guess the real question is where are you going to be when he returns? Are you going to be in one of these? Or are you going to be in one of these? And this is what the parable speaks so loud of. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Brother Chamberlain.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh.
This is a consciousness, of course, that we all have on our minds, seeing the hours and the days that we're living in and the events around our world, and we match them again against the word of the Lord, and we all say, wow, the end must be near, or his return must be soon. But nobody knows the day and the hour, and it's not like he would be playing a game with us. The cautions throughout the word are, I am returning, but you don't know when I'm returning. Be ready. Be ready. Be in pursuit of me. Don't coast. Be in pursuit. The whole idea of being either hot or cold, but lukewarm is what? Somewhere in the middle. 1 Thessalonians at chapter 4. I would like us to read the entire chapter. Are you here to read? Come right on up, sister. Right. Do you want to? Do you have a Bible?
No.
Do you want to read from that?
Yeah, sure. I'll read from
okay.
There. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received out of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of...
Give it a shot.
I have no idea. Even concupiscence. I can't say it anyway. Even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you.
That you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and he rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's exciting. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Is that it?
Go ahead and read the next four verses.
Okay.
Oh, chapter 5, sorry.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief.
Okay. You ever been ripped off? Did you know you were being ripped off? Did you know the thief was there? No, not till when? After the fact. Wasn't that a wonderful, joyous feeling? Be descriptive with me. How did it feel?
It sucked.
Okay, less than positive. Let's just go there. Bad feelings. Yet several Scriptures describe the advent or the coming of the Lord as a thief in the night. Of course, then it's declared, but not for you. You'll know. Do you ever get, you ever been in a group or a meeting where the Spirit of God was evident and moving? And before something happened, You felt it coming. Well, that wasn't a natural feeling. It wasn't really wind blowing in the room or something like that. It was discerned by the indwelling Spirit of God. I perceive that the coming of the Lord will be very much like that. According to this scripture, and just my own perception, that when the Lord returns, the scenario that was just described by Sister Thompson reading, being caught up together to meet him in the air, the dead in Christ rising first, all of that transpiring, I don't get the idea that something that's going to take about 24 hours to take place, or even 4 hours. But now here again, let's go back to the five wise, the 10 virgins. There was something about those being ready. There was something about those in communion, because that example of oil and full of oil speaks to me of spiritual communion with God. Spiritual communion with God. That's not a prayer time. That's a life without prayer. I mean, a life filled with prayer. It's communion with God. It's communion with God. Pray with me right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We rest in the quickening power of the Holy Ghost, established and evident in our lives as an indwelling fountain, as a river that flows, as an ongoing communion, Lord Jesus. Ever present, Lord Jesus, that even at times when we are asleep on our beds, Lord, we feel the communion of your Spirit, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We want to be ever ready, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I can't tell you how many airplanes I've got on with the last thought being, okay, you know, we've already talked. Did you hear about that plane the other day? Whew. I was on a flight like that when the whole beverage cart got lifted into the air and set back down again. Anybody, are you flying tomorrow? You want to take the bus? My wife, she walks through the door and she always taps the plane in Jesus' name. That's the last thing on the plane. Praise God. Praise God. There's something about sitting in the midst of turbulence. That you know exactly where I am. You know what I'm going through. Now, there's been a time or two where I've prayed out of that. Come on, Lord, open the sky. Come on, open the sky. You can do this. I know you can do it. Other times I thought, yeah, go ahead, shake them all up. We're good. Having my lantern full. I'm talking about each and every one of us here. This needs to be our pursuit, having our lantern full, being ready, knowing not the hour is immaterial, or how or when he chooses, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know if we'll make it back up South Hill. Man, they had a big bust in the Walmart parking lot tonight. There was SWAT trucks. There was police cars. There was stuff coming from every direction. Praise God. Okay, how far did we read? through four. Okay, let's go to the next four verses. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. Wait. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. That doesn't mean just don't go out and get drunk. It means be alert. Be spiritually awake. Be quickened. The scripture that speaks of stirring up the gift that's within thee, knowing it's stirred up, knowing it's quickened. I feel a quickening in this house here tonight, don't you? But it's not in the building. I think sometimes there can be the manifested joint presence because of the many spirit-filled believers. But that quickening has got to be in here, right here, this house, this fountain. Young people, it's too easy to lean on the next time we come together or how mom and dad's doing. It's got to be for you. It's got to be for you. Dad can be the holiest of holy. Mom can be powerful and spiritual. But you've got to have it for yourself. You've got to have the Spirit stirred up within you. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost, we got an altar here tonight to pray with you. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I think the whole chapter, 1 through 18. You want to read?
The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but in longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be ever glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Oh, that's a mouthful. I want to go back to a couple of these. Old, say verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water, and in the water, verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Do you know, to this day, we are constantly hearing reports of things that belong in the bottom of the ocean found on the top of mountains. Constantly. And so the consistent evidence is always a reminder of a time on the earth that had never seen rain. It rained at the promise of God, and the Lord destroyed the earth. Or, no, he didn't destroy the earth. He covered it with a flood, but destroyed most of mankind. All but eight. I know that there are many who look at God and say, well, that's not fair, or something like, well, he couldn't do that. Or, you know, everything's based on a big number or a small number. Yet we read that the Lord said to Moses, get out of the way. And he threatened to annihilate those that were disobedient and begrudging of what he had provided to them. And it was Moses that stopped him. But it tells us of God's character. It tells us of his personality. Okay? Now, let's continue again. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I think we kind of go along with, and we just kind of agree when there's a, my pastor used to say it like this, the Lord sprinkled the sand, you know, along the borders, and said to the ocean, you stay there. But every once in a while, you know, he says, all right, go ahead. But it's almost storybook. I'm talking about our belief. And we give credence to science and all of the pull of the moon and all of the, you know, the things, the earthquakes and the ocean and those things like that. Think God has nothing to do with any of that. I will never forget the day I heard a rumbling in my office, and I ran out that door and stood on that asphalt. It was like standing on a pool of water. Everything was the road, those buildings, that tree, the big one across the street. But the road was doing this. And I'm thinking, how does asphalt do that? Several of you were here. Everything moved. And you would think, how's that possible? But this is what this is talking about. It's the word of God that's holding everything in place until. Let's go ahead and read some more. Verse 8. Beloved, not ignorant of this thing. Next one. Slack concerns promise. Next one. Again, the day of the Lord is a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Let me think. What is this maybe describing? a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Kind of sounds like a nuclear holocaust to me. I don't know. It does say of the whole earth. It may be something far grander, because some of the things that mankind has created, we think it's a big deal until something like Mount St. Helens goes off. And we think, now that was a big deal. That was an explosion. The earth will not last forever, according to this, because there will be a new heaven and a new earth. One of the popular things today is preppers. Preppers, getting prepared, storing up, getting ready, self-sufficient. It's a big deal for some. They're planning on sticking around, I guess, through it all. Let's go to the next verse. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Be ready. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day, coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I'm assuming that the Lord, speaking through the writings here, doesn't think we got it the first time around. Or we didn't believe it. We just kind of brushed it off. So he comes around and he says it again. Verse 13. New heavens, new earth. Verse 14. There's one that I want to show you here. Without spot. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Thank God for baptism in Jesus' name. Thank God we have an advocate with the high priest. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him. Next verse, 16. As also in all the epistles, speaking of them, these things, which are some things hard to be understood. Next one. I went to work for a carpenter in Yakima years ago. They were Christians. So I thought, wow, this is going to be... Matter of fact, I knew them because I knew my aunt and uncle went to their church, and, you know. And, of course, I pull up to the job, and I realize, oh, there's a cigarette butt right there on my dashboard. And, of course, one of them pointed it out. They were Bible believers. Matter of fact, they called themselves the Bible Chapel. And I got over working with the senior most man, which was like grandpa. This is a 3-generation construction company. He pulls me aside in a break and he says, do you believe it's possible to backslide? I said, yeah. He said, I don't. He said, in order for you to backslide, mean you weren't saved to begin with. Boy, I choked on that. I thought, man, my dad backslid. What do you mean? In other words, and as you know, there are those that teach a doctrine of what we've called once saved, always saved. And you can't fall away. I want you to read this verse. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. What was that all about, those 10 virgins? Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Brother Johnstone.
I don't know how many of you are familiar with Twitter, use Twitter, spend much time with it. I believe it was Sunday night when that plane was hijacked by the pilot, co-pilot, decided to head to Switzerland. That didn't break on a normal news media wire. In fact, there were no major news companies that picked that story up. It was leaked on Twitter, and before you knew it, the flight path of that plane was leaked on Twitter. And within minutes, while I was watching the feed, I could barely read a tweet, and it would tell me that there were 30 more tweets to read. And I'd refresh it; those 30 would drop down, and before I could even look up at the top, there were 50 more. And it was just—it was like information screaming around the world. And within minutes, people began to make fun of it and began to crack jokes about it. And it became the laughing stock of the world. And that's not anything that's one example. That's not anything that is unique. Because of the power of social media, everyone gets to share their opinion. Everything gets to become open book. Everyone gets to share their thoughts. You probably heard about that tusk they found in South Lake Union last week while digging a basement of a building, a parking garage, or those new high-rises in downtown Seattle. They found a tusk of something. Within a few minutes, that tusk had a Twitter handle and began to tweet. There's some pretty funny stuff that came out of there. Do you remember when someone thought they saw a tiger over here on River Road a couple of years ago? That thing got a Twitter handle within about 15, 20 minutes. Started tweeting to a bear that lives in Green Lake. Somebody created a Twitter handle. Everything's just a joke. And as I sat here tonight listening to this, receiving the word of God, I couldn't help but imagine what's going to happen the day that the trumpet sounds. The scripture says two will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Two will be working in the field, one will be taken the other left. Two will be laying in bed, one will be taken the other left. I'm sure it's going to be a joke for about 24 hours, maybe 48 hours. Come back. Whatever comet you went chasing, come back. They're going to look for us all over this world, and it's going to be a huge joke to a lot of people. Until it sinks in, what's really happened. Maybe they weren't so kooky after all. Maybe these people were onto something. Maybe this idea of life after death, this idea of the rapture of the church, wasn't a farce like we thought it was. I don't know how long that's going to take, but as I look at the condition of our world and how our world reacts to things and the ability that social media has given our world to the medium, it's given our world to react and respond and to do whatever they want to do and say whatever they want to say about every situation, I just couldn't help but think about what that moment's going to be like. Of course, I'm not going to be here. In Jesus' name. I won't get to experience it, but I can imagine what it's going to be like. I want to leave this verse with you also, Ephesians chapter 6. As I came in the door tonight, kneeled down, began to pray, I just happened to open my notebook and I looked at this. I want to say we want to be at like verse 15, Brother Kendrick. 16, 17, 18. Right there. Scripture says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Could you go back to 18 and show it to us in the Amplified Bible? I had written this down in the Amplified Bible in my notes from a couple of days ago in prayer, and I glanced at it. In the Amplified Bible, Ephesians 6:18 says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit, because you can remove the, you know, the rule of parentheses. You can remove the parentheses and you don't change anything in the Scripture. So pray at all times in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Brother Robert and I were having a conversation a couple weeks ago right back there in the back in front of the sound booth. And we talked about some of these very things. We began to discuss the idea of praying in the Holy Ghost all the time. From the moment I get up in the morning, maybe spending some time, a season of just being alone with the Lord in quiet time before the hustle and bustle of the day begins, but making sure that every single moment of my day I'm staying connected. And the way I stay connected is by staying in fellowship with Him. And by staying in fellowship with Him, I'm constantly allowing His Spirit to be prayed through me in every moment, at every occasion, every season, whatever the situation is. I find myself with reaction to situations praying in the Holy Ghost. I receive news. I suddenly begin to feel an emotion of some sort come over my spirit. And when it's rather, when I may get angry or I may become disturbed or I may begin to lose my peace in a certain moment of time, I just find myself, my responses of late has become to just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, but begin to allow His Spirit to be prayed through me. That's what Paul was writing to the church. Praying at all times in the Spirit, on every occasion, in every season, whatever the situation is. He's coming out of verse 18 on the heels of talking about the whole armor of God and putting on the whole armor of God. Wasn't intending to get all fired up here and talk about this. I have this ability as a Spirit-filled believer. I have this at my disposal every single day. And I'm not picking on him, and I don't mean to embarrass him, but, you know, Sunday morning in the prayer room, when I got down there and Brother Robert was in there, I could tell that there had been some fellowship with the Lord by this. We didn't even talk about this scripture, but I could tell by our conversation and things that we exchanged over a 5-minute period, and I was even chasing Hadley around trying to keep her in line. This wasn't intense, let me grab you by the shirt here, let me preach to you for 5 minutes. It was a moment of sharing between the two of us. But what I witnessed in his spirit on Sunday morning was the Lord had begun to do something in him, and I believe he began to put to practice the idea that I can spend every moment that's available to me of every day in the Spirit. I don't have to wait. And we take for granted sometimes, you know, to say, I don't have to wait till I get to church on Sunday to pray in the Holy Ghost seems elementary to us. It almost seems silly for me to say that. But I'm saying it. I believe that we're all mature Christians here, that we're all mature apostolics, and that we should understand that, but it never ceases to amaze me in conversations and situations that I arrive in, and people's reaction to me and people's questions to me, and my first response is, how do you pray? How much time do you spend praying in the Spirit? What's that? What do you mean? What are you talking about? That daily communication and fellowship with God, it is that brings about the scriptures that Bishop was reading to us in Peter tonight. It brings about that peace. As you're standing, one other thought that I had, when you mentioned the idea of the Holocaust, nuclear Holocaust type of thing, and the world with fire, you know, everybody's concerned about nuclear warfare and who's building the nukes, who's not, who's got the ability to do it, who doesn't. I had this thought while you were saying that. He doesn't need anyone's help. He's not waiting on Iran to get it all together so he can use them. He doesn't need any help. When he says it's time, the scripture says in Revelation that it's going to begin to rain down. Amen. Wow. I don't know about you, but this night's been rich. Why don't you to take a moment here and just thank the Lord.